So I am so proud of you. Here's why I'm proud of you. Because after Sunday, how many were here Sunday? How many heard Sunday's sermon? Raise your hand real high. Let me see if you heard Sunday. Okay. So after Sunday's sermon, you came back. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Okay. And I say that because Sunday's sermon, and it's okay. The Lord has some real stern things to speak to us, to minister to us, and we've got to, you know, it you know what it's like? It's like a plate of food. Amen. How many know it's important to, how many like macaroni and cheese? I mean, how in the world can you not like macaroni and cheese? It's like so fattening and so awesome, right? Okay, so how can you not like macaroni and cheese? Everyone like, but here's what I'm saying. You know what? When my mom would make macaroni and cheese, she'd make macaroni and cheese, but she'd put some broccoli on the plate too. Amen? We've got to be Christians that eat the macaroni and cheese, you know what I mean? And eat the cheesecake and eat the fudge brownie, but can also be able to enjoy the broccoli. Amen? I didn't get a big amen there. But you're here tonight. So that... And you know what, I really want to tell you this. Even when I give a message like that, and we, you know, we need to be poignant. We need to be direct. We need to be assertive. And Paul, you know what Paul prayed? He said, pray for me that I will have the boldness to say what I ought to say. Amen. So we need to, and I had several people, and if you didn't do this, I'm not asking you to do it, but I had several people who came up to me after Sunday sermon and said, Pastor, I'm right behind you. You know what? I want you to know I'm supporting you, and I appreciate what you said, and I needed to hear that. I'm just asking, how many needed to hear what was spoken on Sunday, okay? So, praise God for it, and here's the goal. Let me remind you the goal of what we talked about Sunday. The goal is, watch this, that we would be prepared to what God is going to tell us. You know what I mean? And prepared to be quick to do what God tells us to do. And I'm telling you right now, I'll tell you right now what I hear God asking us to do. And this is everybody. Everybody say everybody. Everybody. I say everybody five times. Everybody, 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 everybody. Guess what that means? That means you. That means everyone. And here's what I hear God telling us. I hear God saying that if we are going to move as a church where he wants us to be, then we have to be quick to be obedient to do what he's asked us to do. And I hear him saying, quick to do the easy things. Let's say that, quick to do the easy things. See, and we need to develop an attitude where we're quick to do the easy things, because here's why. Because if we're quick to do the easy things, oh my goodness, God is so good. God is so good. Let me tell you what happens. You are training your flesh. You know, I asked Sunday, you know, is it easy to come up front? Is it easy to sit in the front row? Well, I thought the answer would be yes. But listen, if the answer is yes, then get to the front. If the answer is no, then get to the front. Can you say amen to this? See, how in the world? Well, I'm just asking, what kind of Christianity says, God, I'll be obedient to you as long as it's easy? What? What Christianity is that? Let me tell you what Christianity is that. A Christianity that's not in your Bible. You know what Christianity is? That's a that's what Paul says calls a doctrine of demons. Let me tell you what. God is right all day long. Whether it's easy or whether it's hard, you know what? God wants you to do it. And let me talk about easy and hard. You know what? Let me give you a reality of what's hard. You want to know what's hard? Here's what's hard. You start to train your flesh to be disobedient to God. I'm telling, here, I don't, I love you. I'm smiling, right? I don't care what you say. Sitting up front is easy. Well, that's confronting. Well, I'm confronting you. Sitting up front is easy. Because you want me to give you some hard things? I'll tell you some hard things. Sitting up front is easy. Can somebody say amen to this? Amen. It's easy. And if it's not easy to you, let me tell you what's going on. You are just so used to being a little... Can you say amen to this? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you, there's some things that are going to be changing in this church. And listen, and not because I got up on the wrong side of the bed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a church that's on the move. I'm talking about a church that has come. I'm talking about people that have come to change, not to come. I'm talking about people who are willing to be confronted with wrong behavior. Amen? I'm talking about changing. I'm talking about changing. Hello, somebody. And we have gotten so used to being coddled and caressed and, you know what, and kind of an attitude of, man, am I going for it again? I'm just trying to be led by the Holy Spirit. We've been so used to being coddled and caressed and an attitude of, listen, Pastor, you better watch it. Well, can I tell you what? The truth is, the Bible says that God put people over us, and that when, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, and when we are not willing to submit to them, then ultimately we're not willing to submit to God. Now listen, you can argue with me if you want, but you go home and look it up, because you'll be able to find that very scripture. I'm just telling you the truth. And what God is asking us to do, I'll tell you right up front, he's asking us to do four things in the beginning of 2018. And I want every single one of us to be quick. Everybody say quick. Quick. Be quick to do this. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, invite people to church. Number three, spend time every day in prayer. And number four, expect that things are going to change in your life. R-I-P-E, ripe. Everybody say ripe. God wants us to be avocados that can be used. Amen. Not avocados that have to be waited upon. Amen. See, how many know God love God? We are his children, and what God loves is people that are quick to be obedient. Not have to be coerced and begged and pleaded and pretty please with the cherry on top. Listen, those days are over. Amen. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. You read Jesus. Jesus, over and over again, you know what you're going to read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? You're going to read Jesus commanding his disciples what to do. Read it. Look it up. That's what he does. Jesus has no problem commanding you to do something. And when he commands you to do something, he expects that you're going to say, you know what, not, well, when I get around. How many like when your kids, you ask them to clean up their room, and they're playing some stupid video game, or they're watching some stupid program, and they tell you, you know what, yes, but you walk away, and they just sit there. And what are they doing? They're going to get around to it when they get around to it. I'm just asking you. And how many of your kids never get around to it? I'm asking, how many of your kids never get around to it? It's, you know what that is? That's this. And you know what's really going on? You know what's really going on? When we do that to Christ, we have deceived ourselves. Not a doer of the word, but just a hearer. Okay, this is all review. How many still enjoying this? Here's all review. You know why James says don't be a hearer of the word? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a hearer and a doer. You know why he says that? Because people in the body of Christ can come and just hear the word and never do it. See, that's why he says, no, here's what I don't just come and hear. You come and come to do. Amen? So here's what I'm asking everybody to do. I want you to read. What did we read today? You're like, hey, John 8? No. No, I heard a lot of people saying, and listen, here's the good news. If you haven't read Luke 17 yet, guess what? You still got time. Somebody say amen to that. Okay. The question is, did you read Luke 16 yesterday? How many read Luke 16 yesterday? Raise your hand. If you're in church, you got to tell the truth. How many read it? Raise your hand real high. Okay. Now, listen, if you didn't, you know what? Here's the good news. You can pass the test today. Amen? Amen? Amen. But here's what I'm looking for. Let's say you didn't read Luke 16 yesterday. Here's what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. We're all going to do this together. We're all going to do this together. And listen, and tomorrow or today is the day to start. Because let me tell you about your flesh. The Bible says you can train your flesh to know good from evil. See, This has not been taught. This has not been taught, and it needs to be taught to the body of Christ. You know what has been taught primarily to the body of Christ? That your flesh is your flesh. It can't be trained. It's unruly, it's out of control, and it can't ever get in control. And that's just, not true. The Bible says you can train your flesh to know right from wrong. How many ever gone to SeaWorld?
Oh, there it is. I want to get wet. Okay.
And you go to SeaWorld. Is it amazing? How in the world can they teach a penguin to get on a tricycle and ride a tricycle? I mean, how in the world do you get that? You know what? How do they do that? Listen, I'm just saying. If you can teach a penguin to get on a trike and to ride around on the stage, how many knew, though? How many know there's hope for us? Amen. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen? And guy, and particularly men, I'm ladies, I'm not saying you don't have your issues, but particularly men, you have been so lied to that you just have to, you just are, you know, and part of it is your flesh is trained to look at the wrong thing, to look at the wrong thing, to look at the wrong thing, to look at the wrong thing. And so because it's so trained to do that, you think your flesh can't be retrained some different way. But I'm here to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Now, listen to me, man. It's going to take an enormous amount of energy for you to retrain yourself. But here's the good news. You know what? Your pastor, starting on this next Men of Hope, is going to go through the breadcrumbs that God got, how God breadcrumbed me. You know what I'm talking about, breadcrumbs? I'm talking about I'm lost in the forest. I can't get out. I can't get out of lust. I pray to God. I say, God, help me to hate what you hate and love what you love. And he says, okay. And he throws a breadcrumb to me. And I take a step. And I'm still bound to lust, but not as bound as I was yesterday. And I start doing that one thing, and then he throws me another breadcrumb. And then he teaches me something else. And he's just breadcrumbing me out of lust to the place where there was finally a breadcrumb, and I went like this and did it, and I recognized, oh, I'm out of the forest. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that I can't turn around, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good, and go back into the forest. But it does mean that I'm out, and I'm just telling you, I'm staying out. Amen. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Okay. And I'm willing to, and I'm going to, for all the men who show up, if you don't show up, you won't get that breadcrumb. Wow. And what I'm going to ask is that every man that can hear my voice would make a commitment to coming to Men of Hope. It's just once a month. But you'd come every single month, rearrange your schedule. We're going to rearrange the worship schedule because I want everybody on the worship team to be able to. And let me tell you, man, in this room, there's two kind of men. There's men that are free from lust, and there's men that have been bound to lust or are still bound. Listen to me. It's not my job. I'm not calling nobody out, but I'm calling everybody up. So listen to you two men. If you're out of the forest, everything I'm going to teach you is going to help you stay out of the forest. If you're in the forest, I'm going to help you get out. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. So there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because either one is going to benefit, either getting out or staying out. And here's the thing. When you stand up, and I'm not asking you to stand up today, but I might ask you Sunday, when you stand up and make that commitment that you're going to be there, if I teach four lessons, you're going to be there four times. If I teach five lessons, you're going to be five times. If I teach two lessons, you're going to teach. And I'm probably going to teach four or five lessons. But you're going to be there every lesson. You're not going to miss. Here's what I'm saying. Nobody's going to know whether you're in the forest or out of the forest. Because I'm not going to expose you. I'm in no place to judge you. But I am in a place to help you. Amen. So there's going to be, when I ask you to stand up, you're not admitting to anything. The only thing, you're not admitting to anything. The only thing you're doing is committing to something. I'm going to say this again because I want this to soak in. You're not admitting to anything. You're just committing to something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So what I'm saying is we are all going to start to train our flesh, and I don't know, it might take you a month, it might take you 6 weeks, it might take you, 9 weeks. But at some point in time, you're not going to go to bed until you read your scripture. And your, listen to me, and your flesh that wants to sleep and just do it tomorrow is not going to allow you to do that. Here's why. Because you're going to train your flesh to know what to do is right. Amen. And that's doable. And that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So we're going to read a chapter every day. We're going to invite, and every single one of us is going to invite one person every week, a different person every week. And let me tell you what's going to happen to this church. We're going to start to grow this church.
Amen.
Because just if you look at the numbers, and you're not going to just, I'm going to teach this to you. You're not just going to ask anybody. You're going to be praying. One of the things you're going to be doing is praying. So you're going to be praying for this person that you're inviting.
Amen.
Okay. And then we're gonna teach you how to pray, and you're gonna be committed to praying, and then you're gonna be expecting for supernatural things to happen in your life. Every single one of you should be expecting for your life to get better. Every single one of you should be expecting. If you're in debt, you ought to be expecting to get out of debt. Why would it be? I'm just asking. Why would it be good if you got out of debt? Why would that be a good thing? Because, man, now instead of paying that Visa payment or that Master payment, you know what? You could fill up somebody's car with gas. Amen? Right? Or you could help, you could pay somebody's rent. Imagine that. Or you could buy somebody a fudge brownie cake or something. Amen? Right? Right? Or a jelly donut. Or 4 jelly donuts. Amen? All right. So, are we together? I said, are we together? Okay. So tonight, Pastor, what do you want to talk about tonight? Oh, guess what? I'm going to talk about R. Yeah, Pastor, but you talked about R last Wednesday. I know I did. And I talked about R last Sunday. So guess what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about R. I'm going to talk about read. Because faith comes through what?
Hearing.
Amen. And this is the same thing. We got two kind of people in this church tonight. We have people who are reading their Bible every day, and we got people who aren't. And if you are, praise God, you're going to love this message because this is going to help you to be more committed. Amen. And if you're not, you're going to love this message because this is going to encourage you to read your Bible every day.
Amen.
Are you following me? Is this simple?
Yes.
Is this good?
Yes.
All right. So let's open up our Bibles to the longest chapter in the Bible. Do you know what that is? That's Psalm 119. That's right. Psalm 119. Okay. So let's open up our Bible to Psalm 119. If you don't know where Psalm is, just close your Bible, open it up in the middle. And if you do it 3 times, you'll catch it one of those times. You'll probably catch it the first time. Psalm 119. And here's my first point. Everybody say, knowledge is a starting point. Look at Psalms 119, and let's look at verse 7. I will praise with, I will praise with the uprightness of heart. Watch this. When I learn your righteous judgments, look at the next verse, verse 8. I will keep your statutes. Now let's put this together because I want you to catch this. The end of verse 7. When I learn your righteous judgments, guys, follow me in the back, verse 7. When I learn your righteous judgments, verse 8, I will keep your statutes. I'm going to go over it one more time, then I'm going to ask you a question. Verse 7, when I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. I said one more time, but I'm going to do it one more time because I want everybody to figure out the answer without me telling them. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Okay, here's a question. When are you ever done something and you're like, oh, I'm so mad. I was disobedient to God. Has anybody been disobedient to God? Okay. But here's a million-dollar question. When are we going to obey God's statutes? Come on, I made it easy. Let's go over it again. I want everybody to get this. Look at verse 7. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. When are we going to keep his statutes? When you learn. You know what? His righteous standard. Listen to me. Listen to me. You, Pastor, is that easy? Yeah. Oh, it is that easy. Wow. It is that. Thank you. David said, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against you. There's something powerful that happens to Christian people, and all they have to do is learn what God said, and it puts this guard to help them not do it. How many ever watched that cartoon and they got the cat and he's about to get the mouse and the angel pops up and says, hey, you should do that on the one shoulder, and the devil pops up and says, well, what do you think you want to eat today? How many ever seen a cartoon like that? How many ever lived a cartoon like that? And you're about to do something, and right before you're about to do it, you hear inside God say, you know what? You hear God say, be slow to speak. You're about to say something. Your wife, your husband, your kid, your boss has done something that just ticked you off, and you're right about to, and you have a good zinger. How many know we can come up with some good zingers? Hello, somebody. And you're about to just zing them good, cut them down, put them in their place. And right before you're about to do it, you hear James saying, hey, hey, be slow to speak. You're right ready to say something. And you know what? You're ready to curse them out. Amen? You're ready to speak a curse over them. And right before you do, James pops up again, and you hear James saying, hey, from the same mouth shouldn't come bitter and sweet. Okay, what's happening? Go back to 7, guys. What's happening? What's happening? When you learn your righteous judgments, next verse, you will keep your statutes. There's something, the beginning is knowledge. The beginning is knowledge. That's why your commitment, one of your commitments need to be that you never miss church. I said you never miss church. Oh, you can't never miss church. Oh, who told you that? Who told you that? Why do we come up with stuff, you know what, and it's not biblical. You got no groundwork for it. You know what? Bible says don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Oh yeah, the Bible told you to do something that you can't do? No, the Bible says don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Let me tell you this deep. You know what that means? Let me interpret. It means you come every Sunday and every Wednesday. Amen. And see, why do we get used to, you say, but Pastor, you know what? We're the Wednesday people. We come Sunday and Wednesday. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. How many never missed last year? Raise your hand if you never missed last year. No, raise your hand if you never missed. And that doesn't mean that you didn't go, because sometimes when I will go to visit my family in Chicago, you know what? I'll get up. I've gotten up, and nobody would give me a ride to church, and I'd walk to church. Why? Because I'm not going to miss church. And y'all can, you know what? I mean, hey, I'm just asking, who should lead? Should your ungodly, unrighteous family lead you? Or should you lead them? Come on, answer the question. Then why are you staying home? Then why are you, when you go to visit on them, are you staying in bed on Sunday? You ought to get up. Amen. You ought to go to church. You ought to have your Bible. Amen. And if you can't, if you can't find a ride, then walk to church. Amen. Show a commitment. Amen. Sunday, I'm going to show you a picture of this football game, and it is snowing so crazy. So crazy. And when you see the football game, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see all these, not like, you think you'd go to a football game and in that kind of weather, you'd see like 8 people in the crowd, right? No, packed, amen? I said packed. I'm just asking, should you lead your family? I'm talking about your ungodly family, amen? Should you lead them or should they lead you? Amen. So you're about to sleep in, but boom, what happens? Well, you hear, you know what? You hear the New Testament speak to you and say, hey, don't forsake the gathering of the brethren. Amen. Can we park here for a little while? I said, can we park here for a little while? Yeah, my pastor, I got a little tickle in my throat. I got a little tickle in my throat. John. He lived over here by the bank. Do you know his name? John Mason. I got here, and this guy is, oh my goodness, this guy is almost 90 years old. And John would walk, 90 years old, walk to church. He lived kind of by the Bear Bank. What bank is that? Bank of the West. Yeah, right around there where Chase is, Bank of the West, right there, behind there. And he and every Sunday he'd walk to church. Amen. And his wife too. Well, by the time I came back here, his wife was in glory. But he would walk to church. And you know what? And I just, it's still, his commitment is still a testimony to me. John Mason's commitment is speaking to all of us today. Listen, y'all aren't 90, amen? Yeah, but I got a little tickle in my throat. Well, listen, call upon the elders. They'll pray the prayer over you. If you have sins, the Bible says, hey, how many believe these scriptures are written for us? If those sins are, you know what, if you sin, those sins will be forgiven you, and the prayer of faith will raise up the sick. Amen. Call me, amen? Amen? Call me on a Saturday, I'll pray for you. Amen. But here's what I'm pointing out. Knowledge is the beginning. Because when we understand what God is saying, then the Holy Spirit will convict us. Again, David said, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There's some, this quickening of the word and the Holy Spirit. How many know Jesus is the word? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. They're alive. And you get those down in your heart, it's real and it's alive and it speaks to you. You're about ready to go this way, and the Holy Spirit says, shutteth thou upeth. Hello, somebody. Are you learning something? You know what? You're about to roll over and hit the snooze button because, you know what? Because there's a little drizzle. Amen? Do we need to sing it? You know what? Sunday morning out the door, you were coming back for more. You got your Bible in your hand. You don't care if it rains. Amen? You know who wrote that? I wrote that. Because you know what? I was tired of people. You know what? I'm speaking the truth over you, and I'm singing the truth over you. Amen? And I want you to get it in your heart where now you're singing the truth over you. You don't care if it rains. Your life is not the same. What are you crying? You're crying more, more, more. You mock more the word. Amen? You don't care if it rains. Your life has been changed. And you're committed, whether it rains or whether it doesn't rain. Amen? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody relating to what I'm saying? You know what? The days are over. Somebody say, the days are over of rain keeping me from church. Amen. Hosea chapter 4. Just look it up on the screen. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed. How you get destroyed? From a lack of knowledge. From a lack of knowledge. You know what? Has anybody ever been pulled over in a 35 mile an hour zone? And when the cop told you, you know what, you weren't like, I'll tell you when I'm in a hurry, I'm going fast. You weren't that way. And you were even paying attention. You just thought, you know what, it just made sense to you that you could go 45 there. You didn't know, amen? Now I'm just asking, how many of you had ever been pulled over at a 35 and you thought, and you were going 45, and when you told the cop, so here's what you told the cop. You told the cop, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor. There it is.
And then here, I'm asking you, did anybody ever get this response? And then he looks at you and says, oh, I didn't know that you didn't know. If I had known you didn't know, I wouldn't have even pulled you over. But now you know. So do me a favor. Every time you roll around here, you know what? Just make sure you go at 35. He turns around and goes back to his motorcycle and speeds up. Does anybody ever have? See, let me tell you what. Let me tell you what's up. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. See, God expects us. We have learned. We have wrongly thought that Christianity was a automatic transmission. But Christianity is not an automatic transmission. Christianity is a stick shift. You got to push in the clutch. You got to put it in first gear. You got to push in the clutch. You got to put it in second gear. Listen, if you want to go faster, then push in the clutch and put it in third gear. I'm going to give you a way better chance to say amen. If you want to move forward, push in the clutch and put it in fourth gear.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what I hear with this ripe, R-I-P-E. I believe that God is going to, that you are going to learn. Listen, if we want to move forward as a church, if we want to grow as a church, if we want to have a greater aspect, who's going to do it? Let me tell you who's going to do it. I'm going to do it, and you're going to do it. And we're going to do this together, and there's going to be great, mighty moves of God because you have stopped just coming to church. Now you are taking what you're learning from church. You're taking it home, and you're applying it. You're engaged. You see, the lack of knowledge is destroying, you know what, the church. And God says, no, no, those days are over. You need to take responsibility for your life. You need to take responsibility for your family. You need to take responsibility for your kids and your grandkids and putting the whole thing in the direction. Listen, you can't choose for your kids. You can't choose for your grandkids, but you can put the whole thing in a direction that moves them forward.
Amen.
You can put your whole family in the right, in a direction of righteousness. Amen. Are you learning something? Okay. Number two. How can I do right? You ever done something wrong and you're like, oh, I did it again. Hello? How do you do what's right? Well, look, it's right there. Psalm 119. Look at verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can he do it? Well, what's the answer? Watch this. By taking heed according to my word. By taking heed. You know what that means? Here's what it means. It means when you come to church and you hear the correction of God, you don't take it lightly. You don't come to church and say, oh, praise God, that was an awesome message, Pastor. My wife really needed to hear that. Thank you, Jesus. See, that, let me tell you what that's not. That's not taking heed. Oh, thank God, Pastor, you preached this because my kids really needed to hear it. Listen, they might needed to hear it. But you, if you are spending so much time focusing on what they need to hear, there's a huge problem. You know what that problem is? You're not hearing what you need to hear. Can I tell you what? You can't hear for your spouse. I'm going to say that again. You can't hear for your spouse. Stop. You know what that is? Can I speak the truth to somebody? You know what that is? It's self-righteousness. It's self-righteousness. That's why you think. That's why you're like, oh, thank God they needed to hear it. It's self-righteousness. And you're not, and you can't hear for your spouse. So stop. Stop amening the pastor when he nails your spouse. That's a wrong time to say amen. Come listening to hear what God has spoken to you. That is, how can a man cleanse his way? Here's how you do it. You have to take heed according to your word. You have to say, this is valuable to me. Yeah. Everybody say, to me. Look at this next, look at verse 10. Look at this next verse. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart. Everybody say, with whole heart. See, that's what I hear God is saying. Guys, get rid of the casualness in which we hear from God. Just a cow. You know, oh, that was. It is one of the reasons why we have. I'm just talking about the church in general. It's, you know what? One, can I be honest with somebody? Yes. You know what? Why one of the reasons why people feel like they can miss church whenever it doesn't fit into their schedule? Thank you, Peter, for asking. Here's why, because there's this casualness. There's not a, they don't understand that word that week was given to their pastor to speak to them. I cannot tell you how many times. Not on purpose. Not a, ooh, I'm gonna write this sermon for this person because I know what they're going through and they really need it. Can I tell you when I do that? Never. I'm telling you, never. I never do that. Never have ever done that. But I have preached a sermon and noticed that someone, and through the course of time, how many know, I find out people are going through stuff. Many times from their own mouth. And there's been so many times that I'll look and think, oh my goodness, That was the very, I just know spiritually, that is exactly what they need. And they're not there that week. And I want to say, what was it? You know what? Was it the rain? Was it a free ticket to Disneyland? Was it whatever? You know what? Did they need to wash their car? All this stuff, and none of it is with your whole heart. It's just this casualness. And that's what, and that's why we have gotten to the place where we're as non-effective as we are. Because we just, you know what, we just, you know what, hey, you know, I'm here. Well, where have you been? You know, for the last 3 weeks, I had this and I had that. And what God is saying is this person who has freeing themselves up from the wrong stuff, they're not coincidental. They're wholeheartedly. I use this example. You go in somebody's backyard and the bushes are trimmed and tree is nice and the flowers are here and they got a waterfall and it's not green and moldy. It's nice, and you know what I mean? And you're looking, wow, this is nice. You know what? You're so lucky. They're not lucky. You know what? You go over to their house and they're cleaning that pond and they're trimming the hedges and they're picking the weeds. They're not lucky. They are wholehearted. See, how are you going to clean your act up? Here's how you're going to do it. You're going to do it when you got to be focused. Are you learning something? Okay. Number one, knowledge is the start. Number two, you know what? You can do right, but you have to be purposeful. And number three, and we're closed with this, wisdom. Here's what wisdom is. I don't have time to go into it because I would have to show you the connection. But wisdom is the word. Everybody say wisdom is the word. Just because time, you need to trust me on this. Wisdom is the word. Jesus calls himself wisdom, and Jesus calls himself the word. It's all the same thing. Okay? You receive that? Okay, I just don't have time to show you all that, but I wish I did, but I don't. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so go to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll stop with this. Proverbs chapter 4. Yes, did you have a question? Did you have a question? No. Okay. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and give attention. Everybody say, give attention. Give attention. To no understanding. See, we've got to get understanding of what the Father is saying. That's why you have to read your Bible every day. Amen. Every day. And every day, you know what? There'll be this accumulation of understanding more, and it won't take very long, and you will start to be a spiritual giant in your family. Can I preach? I need spiritual giants. Amen? I need people who are spiritually in tune and spiritually connected to God, and God is moving in your life, and God is doing something in your life. God is changing your life. But in order to do this, you have to give attention to no understanding. You have to, everybody say, give attention. Listen, there's so many ways of doing it. I'm programming right now. They got this thing. My wife bought it for me. And you just wake up in the morning and you say, what's her name? Alexis. You say, hey, good morning, Alexis. And she tells you, good morning. This is the weather. This is what's going on. All this stuff. You say, Alexis, turn on the TV. She's going to turn on the TV. But I don't care about the TV, and I really don't care about the weather. You know what I care about? And I told my wife, I said, hey, make it where I can say, Alexis. Alexa? Alexa. See, I don't even know her name. You know what I mean? This is a true story. Last night, my wife said, Alexa, wake up. I had to get up early this morning. And she said, Alexa, wake up Drew. And she gave her the time. Wake up Drew at this time. Well, here, which was great. Sure enough, the alarm went off. But in the morning, I couldn't turn her off. I was like, Lily, Becky, Kimberly. I forgot her name. You know what I mean? Okay. But it's Alexa, okay? But I don't care about her telling me, you know what, about the weather or the news. I don't care about any of that. You know what I told Tamara? I said, program this lady that I can say, Alexa, read Luke chapter 17. That's what I want. Amen. Yeah. Can you say amen? Amen. And sure enough, she's going to program. Is she going to, I mean, it's simple enough. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, I could play, I listen to the word all the time. I could play you my word. And my one of my daughter said to me, she said, why in the world do you have that version? I said, I like that version because that guy, in that version, that guy is an Englishman and he speaks it with the English accent. Amen. I just like the English. You know what? It's, whatever, a little gray pouponish for me, but I like it. I like it. I like it. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have Alexa do it in you know what, in with the English accent. I don't know. But here's what I'm saying. It's you have to give attention to it. You know why you didn't read last year a chapter a day? Here's why. Not because you're bad people, but because there wasn't attention given to it. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, everyone's going to read the sentence. I'm like, I don't know what. I'm going to read Matthew. I want to read Matthew because that's how I roll. Well, you little rebellious thing, you. See, that's what I hear God saying. Stop thinking you just, listen, you want to read Matthew? Read Matthew. But we're reading Luke together. Amen. Hello? God, listen. God is doing this thing together. And understand the part of you that just wants to... Just understand what that is. That's your nasty little flesh. Amen? Amen? Okay, next verse. Are you learning something? Yes, sir. For I give you good doctrine. Oh, amen. Do not forsake my law. Okay? See, how are you gonna do God's statutes? You're gonna do it by first understanding them, first knowing them. Next verse. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and what? Okay. Unfortunately, because we ran out of time. We'll stop right there, but let me teach this right now. The word will give you life. It will inject, listen to me, it will, you want to fix your life? You want to fix your marriage? You want to fix your finances? You know, there's so many crazy pastors on TV who say, no, you can't do any of this. Man, just read your Bible. Amen? Amen? No, you can too. It's all throughout the Bible. Listen, you can change your life. You can make your life better. And how are you going to do that? By putting the word in. And when you put the word in, it'll change how you think. I said this before. It'll change how you think. When you change how you think, you're going to change how you speak. When you change how you speak, you're going to change what you sow. And when you change what you sow, you're going to change what you reap. I'm going to write this in a song. When you change what you think, you're going to change how you speak. When you change how you speak, you're going to change what you sow. When you change what you sow, you're going to change what you reap. Thank you. I'll give it to you one more time. Repetition is moral learning. If you can do it with me, do it with me. When you change what you think, you're going to change what you say. When you change what you say, you're going to change what you sow. When you change what you sow, you're going to change what you reap. I'll have that in a rap form by this Sunday. I'm working on a new song right now. Oh my goodness. It is so much fun. Richard, wait till you hear this. Oh, this is a great song. Great song. I can hardly wait. All right. Guys, just one chapter. Just one chapter. But watch what'll happen in your life. You know what? Watch what'll happen. Because let me tell you what. When you start having this heart to listen to what God says. Listen, if you're born again, let me tell you what's going to happen. You want to do what's right. And all you have to do is just get in your head. You ever done something wrong and you're like, why are you that way? Because you're going to reap the benefits. I mean, the negative consequences. Oh, I did it. Has anybody ever done something and you were like, because you knew this is going to have some negative ramifications for a long time? Wow. How many of you did that? Stupid. How many ever done that? What's going on? Here's your problem. Your problem is you're not bad inside. You're bad up here. That's why, you know what? That's why the writer of Proverbs says, guys, all you have to do is get this, retain this in your heart. You're going to get it. And when you get it, it's going to bring life. And all the times that you shouldn't have gone that way, you're going to go like this. You're going to, all eyes up here, you're going to go like this. Did you catch that? You're going, no. And you're going to be over here and you're going to be, oh, I'm so smart. Okay. And in a way, you are. Here's why. Because you stopped thinking that you're too busy to read the word. You stopped thinking that. Amen? Okay. Here's what we're doing. We're reading, we're inviting, we're praying, and we're expecting. And we're going to do it all together. Yeah, how long are you going to keep on talking about reading? I don't know. Forever. I don't know. I don't know. Forever. I don't know. But how many of you, I'm just asking, how many of you got enough of reading? See, that's what I thought. How many know this is good? How many like to be encouraged to read your Bible? How many excited about reading your Bible? Oh, if you're excited about reading your Bible, how many see, oh, I need this. I can't not read my Bible. This is too good. Are you kidding me? All right, then praise God. Amen. The word has gone forth. Father, I decree and declare that we read our Bible every day. We all do it, and we do it with joy. We have an expectation that your words, your commandments give us life. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.